Regeneration. The word regeneration is a very interesting word in as much as it's the promise of a Messiah connotation. The word in the Greek is palingenesia, made up of two Greek words, palin and genesis. Palin, of course, is an interesting word and name in as much as it means an oscillation to renew, to make right, to reclaim. But this oscillation comes from its prime, which is wrestling, or if necessary to renew, it can get rough with you. Okay, Palin. And connect that with Genesis, which means natural, restoring things to the natural way that God intended it. That's the way God wants. He wants to do it with all perversion. And we have a promise. And through that regeneration, which we all look forward to, we thank Him for the ability to be with Him, to study His Word. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3, where he speaks of three earth ages, and that third one is the regeneration. But he makes a promise here, and it's an important promise. Verse 13 of chapter 3, you're all familiar with this particular chapter because it speaks of the three heaven ages and the three earth ages. Just one heaven, just one earth, but three separate ages. We pick it up in the 13th verse after he says, on that regeneration, I'm going to destroy everything that is evil. That is to say, the rudiments, the evilness. Only the good will be left. Verse 13, we pick it up, chapter 3, 2 Peter. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise. Well, what promise is that? Well, we'll find out here in a moment. According to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That word righteousness, for He is King of righteousness. He that does that Messiah restoration. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Keeping those chains taut where you're pulling that plow of His work. Looking forward to that restoration sincerely. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, He's very patient, giving everyone an opportunity to come to salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to wisdom, giveth unto him, that who giveth unto him hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, Paul speaking in them of these things, what things? The restoration. In which are some things hard to be understood. Some people just can't see it. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures. They don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. Upon their own destruction. That's to their cutting off if they're not careful. Which would happen to them what is written back in verse 10, which we did not read. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, you know them beforehand. Why? Because you read God's Word. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Stay focused on His Word. It's the most important thing you can have now. But there's His promise. What promise is it talking about? It's written, it's promised many times, but I think foremost in the 65th chapter of Isaiah. Let's go there if we may. The 56th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 65, what promise was Peter talking about there? We pick it up in the 17th verse. For behold, Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. This is the regeneration. and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. This is why there are no tears shed in heaven. You know why? Because everything that is negative is gone. It's not there. It doesn't make it. But verse 18, but be ye glad and rejoice for ever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And so it is. You can't help. In that city of peace, that city that our Savior ascended back to the Father, in which He will descend again at that second advent, at that regeneration. And even as the Holy Spirit present today ascends into the hearts and the minds of those that will follow Him, that will listen to Him, that have eyes to see and ears to hear, to understand the promise. 19. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Why? There's nothing to cry about, nothing to weep about. That's the regeneration. It is coming. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die at 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. He'll be cut off. That's what the word means, rather than accursed. Why? Because in spiritual bodies, we're all the same age. You don't get old. Time means nothing to a spiritual body. That's what the Hebraism that is stipulated there signifies. 21. And they shall build houses. This is God's elect and those that overcome, and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people and mine elect, so shall long enjoy the work of their hands. His what? His elect. Those that have eyes to see and ears to hear and can understand the call of the regeneration, even today, of the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. They're the planting of the Lord. And as you have read in another chapter in the great book of Isaiah, they are His people, and He is their Ishai, which is to say, husband. 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, even before they ask, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Do you know that the Spirit does that today? When you ask for help, when you ask for understanding, when you ask for the ability to teach or to lead or to guide or to direct, that Spirit hears that call, even almost before you make it, that you're a blessing to those that will hear the Word of God. He hears you. Don't you ever doubt that. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. This is the regeneration. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. Why? Because he is dirt. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, saith the Lord. That is that regeneration. That is that time that our Father brings forth, that He has that Messiah restoration, where all things that offend are done away with. And we have that smooth understanding. Romans chapter 8, New Testament. You're all familiar with this chapter as well, verse 17 of Romans 8. And if children then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be also glorified together. That is to say, if you're going to get a few bumps when you really teach the real Word of God, you can expect it. People will turn on you sometimes. Don't worry about it. The Father knows, and that's what's important. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's coming. Regeneration. That time is coming. It's a beautiful time. You know something? It makes all the suffering you do in bringing forth the Christian way in this generation perfect. Easy. For the earnest expectation of the creature, translate creature, creation. It's our good Mother Earth. Waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Even the earth itself is anxious for that regeneration. We're getting back to that that is natural instead of pollution. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. The creation not willingly did it, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. The katabo had to come to pass. 21, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. That regeneration even applies to the earth itself. This very earth here, this one, a new age, and everything brought back as it should, a regeneration. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You don't have to look around very long and you see how we're polluting our planet. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The regeneration. Because you see, you have a spiritual body. That's going to be your eternal home. That is your home. That was your home. You're simply passing through this flesh age. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? Because he has experienced it, or she has experienced it, and knows better. Then that calls for action, not hope. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is something that's very hard to attain. Everybody wants that regeneration. Father knows what he's doing. It must be done accurately. We got to get it right this time. And he knows what he's doing. Don't question him. Wait upon him patiently, studying, rightly dividing the word of God to show yourself approved. Likewise, the Spirit also keepeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. As one of God's elect, this is written to the saints, which means simply in the Greek, set aside one. You don't really know what God uses his elect to make these scriptures come to pass as they're written, and he doesn't have to apologize to them later, because if you were to continue reading to verse 32 in this same chapter, and we're not going there, you're already justified. But that doesn't mean you don't answer for your sins today, because indeed you do. He'll paddle you pretty good. He'll thump your gourd right real quick. But he does intercede in your lives to move you where he would have you. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh that intercession for the saints according to what? According to the will of God. Why? Because it must come to pass as he designs it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called. I want to repeat, called according to his purpose. And so it is, it continues on to say, whom he did predestinate or foreordain. He's going to move in their lives. That can be expected. Those that have eyes to see and ears to hear have nothing to worry about it. Matthew chapter 19, please. We We just had a very wealthy man, no doubt with ill-gotten gains, that wanted to follow Christ. And Christ told him, he said, you're going to have to get rid of that stuff. You know, what God blesses you with, wear it in pride. Live in it in pride. Be happy with it. You deserve it. But ill-gotten gains, you better shuck them, because they will cause you much hurt. And really, that's what we pick it up with here. And let's pick it up in verse 23, where he's answering about this poor man. Verse 23 of chapter 19, the great book of Matthew. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. 24, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. A lot of people think, well, that would be impossible. No, not if you understand the eye of the needle. In the old days, there were two gates. The main gate that was opened in the daytime, but at night, because there were only two sentries usually placed at that gate, only the small gate was opened. And a camel will go down on its knees and scrunch forward. You know what scrunch means. But if it's got a pack on, you got to take it off. You got to unload it. You got to unload your donkey, or you're not going in if you've got ill-gotten gains. Camel happens to be what we're talking about, but it fits. And God will not accept that. Okay? Will not. 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's why his elect are so special to him. That's why that he is so very happy with them. That's why he hears their prayers. That's why he gives them unction. That's why he helps them teach. That's why he helps lead, guide, direct, and bless. Why? He's on the throne. He's in charge. He gets it done. Then answered Peter, and he said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? In other words, we had a nice fishing business, and we gave it up. This comes into the old saying of, you have to love your business and your family less than you love Christ, and you're going to be just fine. A lot of people leave their family and blame the family. You still love your family. It's just that you got to love them less than you do the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, and Almighty God. Verse 28, listen carefully. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, I don't know, do you? That's a question, do you? In the regeneration, there's our word, palingenia. When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then if you've studied the great chapters of the millennium age in the great book of Ezekiel, you know what is just outside of those 12. Circled in that small area is God's election, right near the prince of the people. And there they help others. And they abide. And Ezekiel chapter 44 tells you of the Zadok, God's elect. That's a word in the Hebrew that means the righteous, the upright, the elect. And they are there with him, able to be utilized by him in that great regeneration. And hopefully, even at that time, then that regeneration will be able to draw many in that had no opportunity to hear or learn the truth for lack of knowledge. That will just pull them totally away from the Word of God, but bring them into total knowledge whereby they can make their mind up. But regeneration, again, understand that word in its totality. Palin, that's one of the Greek words. Genesis, the other Greek word. And when you pronounce it, it is palingenia. Okay. And what it means is palin, there's an oscillation there. In other words, if a shaking is necessary to renew, it's going to get shook. And you can refer to Hebrews chapter 12 to understand. If you're on the rock, you don't feel that shaking. Why? That rock is Christ. And you're in good standing with Him. You don't have anything to worry about. But if you're not on that rock, that oscillation in the word palin is going to take effect. The renewing is going to happen whether people like it or not. For it is God's order, it is His command, it is the regeneration. And it brings in that Messiah restoration of all things. Have you ever stopped to think that you're a part of it? If you make that stand, that you're helping bring in that regeneration? What a fantastic time to live, even in this generation. But verse 29, and every one that hath forsaken house and or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. And again, I want to double warn, that does not mean to turn on your family. It means to love God's work more. But that does not take one iota away from your love of your people, your family, that closeness. Verse 30 to complete. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. This has to do with what happened in the first earth age before the regeneration even beginning with this earth age. The first were those that stood against Satan at his overthrow, his fall. They were chosen first, but they are last in this generation, the generation of the fig tree. Why? To do God's work, to do His bidding, to make that stand, to stand against the false Messiah, to stand against false teaching. And then He applies this same regeneration to us in a little, not only in the earth that we wait for, but today that you can participate in. In closing, go with me to Titus, just following the great book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. You have the little short book of Titus. Turn there with me to chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 in closing. This is something that you have today that He gives you in the regeneration. Listen to it. It's basically self-explanatory. Chapter 3, the book of Titus, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. In other words, let your character and reputation be that you're free to do God's work, obeying, and we're very fortunate in this great nation that guarantees freedom of religion. We don't have it like some nations do. We're free to do His work. So what little they require is easy to obey, as long as it doesn't go against God's will. Two, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, naturally, tough love must come to pass sometimes. That's not brawling. Brawling is where you're a troublemaker and trouble happens wherever you go. But practicing tough love and straightening that is wrong, whereby you have that peace, is very necessary. But and then gentleness, just as Christ would have. But when He had to put His foot down, He put His foot down, period. That's the way it is. That's discipline, and God demands it. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another, causing trouble. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, When he touched you, when you heard him, then your life changed. It changed instantly. Why? Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. There's your word. Regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So you can experience that regeneration today. Many of you already have. That he leads and he guides and he directs and he uses in his service. That to bring forward that truth, to see that his word goes forth, that as many saved as possible can be arranged through what? Through his children. Through those that have that truth. And, you know, this doesn't mean to stand on some corner and make a fool out of yourself. It means to live in a way that people see. They see that kindness and they see that blessing from God upon you and your family. They want it. They're drawn to it. They feel it. But you can also today be regenerated. That means it might take a little wrestling. Palingenesis. That paling and oscillation. May have to get a hold of yourself. Shake yourself up a little bit. Then get in the harness and go. Okay. Renew that is natural and always stay with that is natural, not that is unnatural, for that is not regeneration, that is falling away. Verse 6, which he shed on us, the Holy Spirit, abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Our Father gave us that. That being justified, that means judged and cleared, by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Eternal life in what? In that regeneration. Now of the Spirit, but then of the entire age. The Messiah conversion of the whole world, whereby there is nothing that offends. Think how perfect that's going to be. You're not going to wake up in the morning turning on the news and hear bad things happening. Some suicide bomber blew up 20 people. There's not going to be any suicide bombers there. They're gone. Won't happen anymore. Okay. All that is done away with. What a perfect world that's going to be. Why? Because of the regeneration. Palingenesis. The renewing. Of that is perfect, that is pure. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. I want you to emphasize it. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You want to be blessed of God? Then let yourself be regenerated in that Holy Spirit. And let him lead. And keep those reins tight and straight. And taunt in staying focused on the word of God. And the assisting of mankind with the truth of this very word that we're covering. The regeneration of man. Always avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable. And we stop there because God's true genealogy is not foolish. Knowing the true Christ from the fake is very important. And you must know the genealogy of Christ, which is nothing but the key of David that assists you in that partaking of that regeneration. Look forward and long for the regeneration of the whole world. That's going to be beautiful. And you know something? I don't think it's that far away. But don't miss the regeneration of the Holy Spirit today. In your family, in your life. Appreciate your family. Love them. Assist them. Help them when it is possible. If God has chosen you, then there's nothing else you can do. If he hasn't chosen you, you'll probably bucket the traces. That's okay. You'll come around someday because you'll get tired of the bruises. But you can love him and love his children. Assist them and help them. Don't ever let something fester. Get rid of it. Be in peace. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for regeneration, that promise, and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, Father. Father, use this family overall, Father. Let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with. Use them. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The mark of the beast on sea.